And welcome back, Nashville. This is The Morning Drive on 102.5 The Game. John Roberts, Joe Rexroad, and Marquise Munson with you. Want to bring on our good friend Hal Gill, who is the Predators radio analyst, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. And is it oversimplifying, Hal, when you say, when you put this phrase on the Preds, high payroll, high expectations? Is that too simplified?
Well, it's kind of that's a tough way to put it. You know, you have players that are earning money because they've done big things and they've earned that money, you know, by their past and what they've done. You expect them to perform at that level continually at that price, but it's really hard to put a price on what a team is when they're all together. And I think that's the part that, you know, people say, hey, you got to perform. You get paid that much. Well, you're on a team. And so the team really, and it took me a long time to figure that out. You want to be on a good team. Everyone wants to win, but you have to be able to find out what it takes to win. And that's where the problems come in. It's not just scoring goals. It's not just blocking shots. It's not the stats. It's whatever it takes to win, and that's where you get paid, and that's where you earn the money, and that's what the Preds are still looking to do.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Hal. If we take it to the individual level, though, and a guy we've talked a lot about all year, Ryan Johansson, I thought he was a freaking monster in Edmonton, and it's not realistic. As you can speak on as well as anyone, it's not realistic to expect, you know, playoff performance, intensity, whatever you want to call it, and apply that to every night of an 82-game season. But what is your takeaway from how he performed there and what that says about him moving forward?
Yeah, you know what you are looking for from a highly paid, highly skilled, competitive guy like Ryan Johansson? Is you're looking for a glimpse every game. And, you know, you want to stay in a game and you need guys to perform for 82 games, but you need that little glimpse of it, and you need it to pop up every game. And that's sometimes the hard part is getting that separation between, you know, I haven't seen him for 10 games, and then he goes on a spurt. You need a guy like him to pop up, and I thought in the playoffs, he stepped up big time. And that's what you're looking for, not every game, but you're looking for that consistently throughout the season. But if he can get what he was given in the playoffs, I thought he was a monster. He had some dangles. He was setting guys up. He was moving the puck well. I think he realized how to use Philip Forsberg a little bit better. You know, they talk a lot about being a power forward and what you do as a power forward. And I thought he stepped up and used Forsberg, used Arvidsson, and played really well. So it's a good sign. You know, if you can get Joey to play that, a glimpse of that during the regular season, that's going to be awesome for the Preds. I thought he stepped up his game big time. But he's done that in the past. He's been a beast in the playoffs before.
Yeah, you brought up, I was going to ask you the next thing on those guys. How much of this do you think was the reunion of that line? And I guess, what does it say to you about next year, too? Obviously, I mean, Forsberg talked yesterday, like, he totally got the idea of putting him with Duchesne. Obviously, there's been this search to get another line of support, but then you see those guys together, and it's like, man, that's a tough thing to break up in the future, I would think.
Yeah, you know what? I really feel like the Preds are missing that net drive power forward, and Forsberg fits the bill. He can play that way. He's more on the skill side, but when he plays like a power forward, he's super effective, and we saw how good he could be. I think he's got a lot more in him, and I think it's just ready to burst. He's just got to tailor his game to make it work. So if you put him with Duchesne, I still think you're looking for that at that big power forward guy to play with Joey. So it's kind of a tough thing. You can only have so many Philip Forsbergs, and that's kind of a tough thing you know, you want to hand them out. I think Turris playing with Duchesne just doesn't work because there's not that big presence. They need a 1-2 punch with a big guy. And so I think that, for me, that would be number one issue in the offseason is getting that guy. He doesn't necessarily have to be overly skilled, but you need someone to push in and pack. I think Gronlund did a good job of it, but he's still, you need a little more jam into the net, and I think that'll fill out the top six, because then you can put Forsberg with either Duchesne or with Johansson, and then you have another guy to fill in the other side. And so that gives you your top six.
How it was almost a little bit of insult to injury when it came down that the Predators fell so far down in the draft lineup. But can you still make an impact with a pick in the 11th position in the NHL draft?
Yeah, absolutely. These young kids, just watch the playoffs. It seems like there's a kid I've never heard before impacting games. And, I think at 11 pick, I think you're going to get a great player. After Lafreniere, I think there's, obviously he's the guy everyone's looking at, and the Rangers, as lucky as they are to get him, there's a lot of other players that are going to be an impact. And the Preds they've talked about stocking the shelves, and this is why they've done it. They're going to have some young players coming in. Tomasino is coming up. They have players that are going to be impacting the lineup soon, and I think this draft isn't going to be far away from that. So it'll be interesting to see who they go with and how they plan it. I think in the NHL, you really got to pick your best player. You don't pick by a position. They're going to look at what they have, and they've done a great job with prospects and drafting well. So I don't see any reason why you wouldn't have one or two guys coming up impacting the lineup in the next 2 years.
Hal, we were talking earlier about some of the impact of what we're all going through right now on the future. And in sports, one thing, we've already seen some is remote broadcasting. Maybe we'll see more of that in the future. Just wondering from your perspective, what was it like calling these games from Bridgestone, not having the live action in front of you? Was it tough to handle? Was it way different? And what do you think about that as a possible trend moving forward?
Yeah, you know what? It was so interesting to me. I felt like it was kind of like a lab experiment. I'm going, all right, what am I getting myself into? Hopefully we don't have to do it. That being said, as I was doing it, I'm excited for the first game. It was all new. It was all exciting. And then, you get to games 2, 3, and 4, and then you're going, okay, this is fun. But there's an element missing, and it's in between periods. You get that break. Usually you're at the rink and you bump into someone. You say hi. You're excited. The game, there's a feeling in the building that kind of grabs you and pulls you in and gets you excited about the game. And I miss that. I didn't realize how much I would miss that until I'm actually going through it and it's not there. It's kind of it was interesting. It's fun, calling a game with Pete Weber is amazing anyway. He's such a pro, and I'm not sure how he did it as well as he did just watching a TV, because I thought it was difficult. He nailed it, but there's an atmosphere that you miss, and that's the fun part about calling the games, and you try to make that atmosphere for the fans and for the listeners, but it is tough. Over an 82-game season, I think that would be it would be tough to be stuck in a room and calling the games there.
Yeah.
Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Hal, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and hope to talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Great.
Lots more to talk about. This
yes,
is
sir.
NHL hockey, too. You guys got to pay attention to that, too.
Yeah, how real quick, how would you be feeling? I mean, Seth Jones looked just fine, 65 minutes. How would you be feeling after a game like that?
It's funny. When I was playing, the game was a lot slower. You could grind out a game. These guys were five overtimes, and they were still humping up and down the ice. I was blown away. The level that they sustained for that long, trying to beat out icings, You get into double overtime, and you're like, forget it. That's an icing. We'll take a break and rest up.
All right, Hal, thanks.
It was impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Hal, thanks a lot. Be safe, and we'll talk to you soon. So, folks, we got to grab us a quick break here. This is the Morning Drive on 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC will face FC Dallas this Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Catch all of the action on 102.5 The Game or ESPN 949, beginning with the pregame coverage at 7:15 p.m.